Chuck and Julie, bringing you the truth, straight up.
I'm Julie Hayden, and I'm working at...
An Emmy-winning former investigative reporter, a highly successful trial attorney, and publisher of a major Denver area newspaper. They've been partners as talk show hosts and in marriage as parents for over 10 years, providing thought-provoking information, opinion, and entertainment live, local, and interactive. Everyone's voice is always welcome on the Chuck and Julie Show.
Well, have a good afternoon. This is Chuck Bonner along with Julie Hayden, the Chuck and Julie Grassroots Show, True Straight Up.
Brought to you by Mountain West Wellness, Advanced Acupuncture, and Chinese Medicine. Okay, we will get to the fact-checking Colorado's gold standard election system.
And our favorite reporter, Kyle Clark.
Yeah, with the Secretary of State posting the passwords up on our public website. But first, I wanted to start off with something else interesting going on. One of our favorite guests, Colonel John Mills, national security expert. And he has a great column up about this swarm of drones flying over, oh, no problem, Langley Air Force Base, and the military can't figure out what to do about it or who it is. Colonel, thank you once again for your time. Appreciate it.
Hey, Julie and Chuck, always an honor to be on your show. Thank you.
You bet. Thank you.
So this is not like the drone you would buy at Sharper Image that just kind of accidentally wandered over Langley. Why don't you tell us, by the way, you aren't seeing very much of this in the mainstream media, but why don't you tell us what's been going on with these drones?
Well, so last December, there was a kind of a bleep of a quick report that came out that, hey, drones over Langley Air Force Base. And that story kind of came and went, big deal. So what? We all forgot about it. Well, about 2 to 3 weeks ago, the Wall Street Journal came out with a very detailed story about what happened last December. Most of these details had never been presented before. It kind of tells me that the national security apparatus had spun up an interagency team, which actually was described in the article, but I've gone through this many times. So the interagency team had spun up at the White House to study this situation, try to figure out what in the world was going on and what do we do about it. It takes months to do these things. And so the results obviously had come out, and it looked like the Wall Street Journal was the paper chosen to essentially give a special briefing. So a lot of important, a lot of scary details. So for 17 nights in a row in December of 2023, and remember, in February of 23, that's when the Chinese spy balloon came over.
That was a lot like the spy balloon.
Yeah.
They may have missed air. Yeah.
So for 17 nights, we essentially had a swarm of drones fly over, not just Langley. You got to remember that the Hampton Roads, Newport News area is the largest cluster of military bases in the world of any nation. It is an incredible array of not just Department of Defense, but there's several other U.S. government agencies down there. But just a variety of bases and stations that these drones flew over unchallenged for 17 nights. Now, the layperson is just going to say, well, we just shoot them down. Well, it's not that simple, okay? This is not Iraq or Syria where we just have the Centurion Gatling gun automatically start shooting. The drones are flying over residential housing developments. Does anybody want a Gatling gun shooting over their shooting over their house or missiles getting shot over their house? That's a very bad idea. So and they also, this was a foreign power. This drone swarm was complex. It showed artificial intelligence enablement for these drones to communicate with each other. There was a general who actually ran to the roof of Langley Air Force Base and watched them. Now, also, these drones never actually flew over an installation, which also to me indicates they knew the means. They knew Department of Defense can't do anything if they don't cross the fence line. And so you draw a vertical line up from the fence line. If those drones cross it, that's a little bit of a different situation. But if they don't cross the fence line, they go right up to the fence line. They go right up to that imaginary vertical line. DOD can't do anything about it. And besides the fact that domestically they don't really have anything to do anything about it.
Right.
But this is, so whoever did this, it shows so much complexity, so much sophisticated understanding of our gaps and seams. This was not a UFO situation. This was a foreign power. So we don't only have unsecure borders. Our interior is unsecure.
Well, and let me ask, because I was reading about this because I think it's fascinating. And like you said, yeah, this was not some smart aleck kid flying his Christmas present drone over Lang around it. You were talking about the artificial. I mean, as I understand it, the drones had the ability to essentially, and there were a lot of them, right? And we're not just like talking one or two, to sort of move around and maneuver in such a way that made it very basically impossible for the military to kind of interfere with them or try to jam them or anything like that, right? I mean, they were immune to anything that the military could do right then to try to stop them, right?
Well, they showed an advanced capability to essentially fly in formation with each other. So this is not a bunch of individuals, each one flying a drone. No, no, this is advanced networking that shows the drones have sophisticated ability to seek and avoid, seek and cooperate. Fly in formation. This is not just an individual. This is where you have to use, essentially AI algorithms to have them communicate and coordinate with each other. Now, there was a general in the game, I think it was Mark Kelly, an Air Force general. He's a pilot. I mean, his description was fascinating. It was actually, he described a 20-foot-long fixed wing, like a small airplane drone, going 100 miles an hour at 3,000 feet. Now, you start doing the math and the physics of something like that, that's a pretty big drone. Okay, so that's an airplane-like drone. But he also described that it seemed to be shepherding a group of large quadcopters. And we're not talking about a small DJI quadcopter you get at Costco. We're talking about more like agricultural-grade large quadcopter drones that can start to carry, 15, 20, 50 pounds worth of ordnance, possibly, or whatever. But they have a totally different flight characteristic between the airplane-like drone and then the quadcopter drones. I mean, the airplane-type drone can have a higher speed, a longer endurance. The quadcopters usually would have a shorter range, not as fast. So it's interesting, but he said they were working cooperatively together with the fixed-wing drone acting as kind of a lead or a shepherd for the quadcopters. That's extremely sophisticated.
Well, it sounds like we're, once again, the world's most incompetent nation. The military would happily violate every law we have if it was to scrape up another buck for something. We can't shoot down the air balloon because it was over U.S. territory until we got to sea. We can't do anything about these guys because they just got to the edge and they're so much brighter than us. Do you have any people with any IQ left, or is it all DEI? Is this a DEI investigation?
Well, I mean, I think that has dumbed down the thought patterns of what used to be our incredible national security culture. This is just a topic area. If you look at it, there's a Congressional Research Service paper, I think I cited in my Substack article, that was fascinating. And it shows the military doesn't have a capability to just shoot it down over the domestic airspace, and neither does really anybody else. The
How do they give it to the Ukrainians to shoot down the
okay,
Russian drone?
Again, that's a totally different situation. That's a combat situation. We're talking about domestic airspace.
Is it that they can do nothing? They're so incompetent they can't figure out anything? That our airspace is nothing? Armies go over with entire squadrons of drones, and we say, God, that's really cool. Look how cool they are. Oh, well.
Well, sorry, we just, Chuck, we don't have a capability for all situations. And this is, unless you want a DOD with 10 times the budget it has right now. Do you want a missile? Chuck, do you want a missile fired and exploded over your house?
Sure.
Well, here's
if it meant every Air Force.
No,
I don't think you want that, Chuck.
It's pathetic. You're describing an incompetent, pathetic Defense Department.
Well, here's my question is, and this is a stupid question, I admit, but it just, why couldn't they follow the smaller drones to see where they landed?
Well, that's a great question. And so it's not clear in the Wall Street Journal article, but that would be one of the first things I would have done as the interagency spun up at the White House. Because you know these basic things here. I would have drawn, although it was a broad area, it wasn't just Langley. But let's use just Langley as an approximate. Though the rough ballpark of a quadcopter range probably is going to be about 50 to 75 miles. Let's say draw a circle 60 miles around from Langley, and then do it from the other locations. Draw a 60 miles circle.
Right.
See where they intersect. When you start to do situations like that visually, you start to narrow down immediately launch points. And this is probably the aircraft type drone and the quadcopter drone probably came from different launch points for operational reasons. So this is very sophisticated, probably different launch points. The FBI, now again, the CSR paper, everybody's got to read this paper because four departments have partial authority to engage a drone in the domestic airspace. Partial. So there's a lot of gaps and seams. Department of Defense has some authority, but it's over a very limited set of facilities. Which does not include the Hampton Roads and the Newport News area. Okay, Department of Energy, they have an ability to knock down drones over the Nevada nuclear test site in Nevada. Okay, Department of Justice and DHS share some responsibilities, but they can only be used in what are called national sensitive security events, such as the Super Bowl, such as the State of the Union address by a president on Capitol Hill. So the problem is, you look at these four departments that have authorities, and you lay it down, and you go, well, there's a lot of gaps and seams here that people are going to be able to play.
Was Kamala Harris in charge of our response? I mean, she's fully vetted and ready to go.
You know, it sort of added to that, Colonel, let me ask you this. It does seem, I mean, and sort of to Chuck's point, I understand what you're saying is they're kind of limited in what they could do, but it does seem to be a gap. And it seems to me that some foreign, somebody decided that they could do this for 17 nights in a row, right? And that nothing was going to happen to them. Joe Biden was going to pick up the phone and call people around and say, hey, are those your drones? Get them the frick out of our country. Or, do you know what I mean? They just did this. And that to me seems to be the biggest gap, right?
Our president, Vice President.
It's all about leadership, and we effectively haven't had. We don't even know who the president is right now. We had an unlawful coup on July 21st where they just shoved Joe Biden out of the way. Hey, it's called the 25th Amendment. If you don't like him, follow the 25th Amendment. But clearly, we have had nobody really in charge of the federal government since January of 21, and neither Harris or Biden are providing effective leadership. I mean, this is a crisis, but we're having so many crises here, nobody's noticing the difference. I mean, we just got to get through and hopefully be able to pull out a victory next week on Tuesday.
Drones. I mean, so you were there, I mean, in the military, you know, so I could say maybe the first night, the second night, the third night, but you would think by night 15, some general or somebody somewhere is screaming at people, figure out what these drones are, where they're coming in from, and what their intent is, wouldn't you? I mean, was that going on?
As you spin up the new committee at the White House from all the different, and again, I've sat at the Eisenhower Executive Office building right next door to the White House. When you spin up these permanent and temporary interagency meetings, and everybody has to figure out, okay, whose role and mission. You gotta determine some of the basic facts. Now, one of the things I point out in the paper is, the FBI has a fairly large air fleet. A lot of people don't realize how large it is, I'm not revealing any classified information. Just look up, just do a basic Google search. You'll come up with information pretty quick on this. And first thing I would have done is, because one of the lead agencies in this situation would not have been DOD, it should have been FBI. I would have put FBI and said, hey, even DHS has a fairly large air fleet. You remission and repurpose immediately some of your aircraft to monitor and figure out and follow these drones to figure out what's going on.
Put a helicopter up there, right? Put a helicopter up there and then follow them.
This is a bit of a risky, at night, I don't know what the weather conditions were, but, we have no control. These drones are clearly not, they're blowing off every federal aviation flight rule. So we don't know. You're trying to monitor. You don't know if they're going to go here, there, at you. So, I mean, this is a high-risk situation right off the bat.
What conclusion did the people that were leaked to the Wall Street Journal come to? Who they were?
It's inconclusive in the report. It didn't really say, I am sure this is not forgotten. I'm sure they are spazzing out inside trying to figure out what's going on. But you remember also there was also a Chinese national in February, who was flying a DJI, a small hobby shop, over Newport News Shipyard, one of the facilities in that area. You tell me this wasn't coordinated. I don't buy that at all.
Well, we know the FBI isn't too hot with drones. I mean, they have to call up the toll-free number to ask for instructions. So you wouldn't want to put it under
the FBI has some excellent capabilities. The problem is there are severe legal constraints on what they're allowed to do with
them. They don't care. What have we gone through for 4 years? Do they care about legal restraints? They care nothing about legal restraints.
Let me just a couple questions. I got to let you go. Have there been any more come back? I mean, could this have just been a problem?
This was so clearly what I wouldn't call this a leak. This was essentially Wall Street Journal was selected to be the paper to receive the first briefing on this topic. I don't know why. Wall Street Journal has had a series of incredible reports over the last month here, just one after another. Man, they have been smoking hot on so many topics. But no, we don't know what the next step is. I'm sure everybody is spazzing out. Now, one of the things they did say, they moved all the aircraft out of the F-22s and the Navy fighters out of Oceania. They scrambled them and got them out of there, which was a wise idea. Yeah. Just get them out of there.
Yeah.
They're very vulnerable on the ground, and they're not going to be effective against a small drone like that. They don't really have, again, we're not going to be firing Sidewinder missiles over people's homes. So I'm sure there's a lot going on. The new NORAD NORTHCOM commander, I was a little bit insulted by his, he just came out today in a paper, and he talked about drone incursions, but he didn't mention this one. But he goes, that happens all the time, and 95% of the time it's just a hobbyist. Okay, what about that 5% of the time when it's not a hobbyist?
When it's China. I have to let you go.
Thanks so much.
Where can people, you mentioned you have a Substack. Where can people find your columns? And I know you're all over the place, but.
Yeah. Hey, thank you so much. So it's going to be Colonel R.E.T. John, Colonel Rhett John on Substack, and it's Colonel Rhett John 2 on X. So Colonel Rhett John 2 on X, and then Colonel Rhett John on Substack, Getter, and Truth.
Well, right. Keep us surprised.
This is a great story. Yeah, so, yeah. And thank you for covering it, too. We appreciate your time.
Oh, hey, Chuck and Julie, thank you so much. Appreciate it.
Take care.
All right. Thank you. Yeah. I mean, we had a ton of comments there, guys. Sorry we couldn't get them all to it. But I just thought that was just, when I saw that, I'm like, that was just so interesting with that. Hey, speaking of incompetence, now we want to switch gears and talk about, and there's in the past few days, our gold standard of Colorado election system has, I guess it's fair to say, taken a hit. First, it came out when Jenna Griswold had to hold a news conference, I think fresh off of a maternity leave, which explains why she looked a little chunkier. That wasn't very nice to say. But at any rate, had to explain that in Mesa County, people were stealing ballots, filling them out, fraudulently sending them in, and they were being counted, right?
So
we had that happen.
Now, hey, that's part of the gold standard.
Right, and they only counted a few of them. It's just like the Venezuelans only took over a few apartment complexes,
yeah, that's
right?
Not a problem.
You know, if you're a Democrat, just a few illegal votes, not a big deal. Then we had in some Colorado counties, there are ballots, and this is a weird story, and we'll be covering this a little bit more too, that are not scannable. So you have to scan them, raising questions. Well, who printed them? How come some of the county's ballots are scannable and some of them aren't? So that's an issue. But the big breaking news, and it was broken by the Colorado Republican Party. Thank you very much, Dave Williams, Hope Shuppelman, and Anna Ferguson, found out that gold standard Jenna Griswold had posted publicly on the Secretary of State's website all of the top secret passwords for the election system machines in Colorado, in 63 of 64 counties. Now, you will be glad to know that Jenna Griswold assures us there is nothing to be worried about there. And I don't know if we have him on. Do we have Mark Poff? Are you there yet? He was joining us on Zoom. All right, he's here. So we wanted to reach out because Jenna Griswold said this is a big nothing burger, even though Kyle Clark kind of ran her through the ring, a big nothing burger, totally secure election. Don't worry, don't worry, don't worry.
We're on top.
Yeah, we're on top of it, even though she didn't know about it until the Colorado Republican Party told her, apparently. Is this a big nothing burger or publicly releasing and posting on your website the passwords for election system machines? Is that something perhaps that raises election integrity issues?
Well, is it really that big of a deal that you release the passwords to voting machines? I would think that would be somewhat of a big deal. Yes. So it's kind of the equivalent of, so people have your Visa card number.
Yeah.
Is that a big deal? In this situation, I mean, it's a huge deal, and it's wrong on so many different levels from the standpoint of total incompetence at the Secretary of State office here in Colorado. And I've tried to watch everything today and still do some work today that I had to get done, but it's just crazy how she's trying to cover this up. And I watched the interview with, I guess, the Channel 9.
Yeah, he actually did a good job for a change on that.
When he started off, I'm watching this, I'm about halfway through it, and I'm thinking, this is a setup. This whole interview is a setup. And then he started asking her some tough questions. I'm like, whoa, wait a minute.
Yeah.
And then you see her backpedaling and say, well, I take a little offense to.
Right.
So I would definitely tell everyone to watch that. Because it's obvious to me she's lying. And I'm somewhat uniquely qualified to actually have this conversation.
Go ahead and explain this. Because you're on BIOS passwords and stuff like that. So, yeah, explain all of this.
So, obviously, I am a expert in computer forensics. That's what I do. So, that helps me be uniquely qualified because they're talking about these BIOS passwords and all this other stuff. And I'll explain that. I have deployed top secret systems into Cheyenne Mountain. So I know what it's like to have computer systems that are top secret, where the passwords, you have to worry about passwords and deployment of multiple systems. Mine was just throughout Cheyenne Mountain. This is throughout the state. So in talking about BIOS, and I've really been thinking about this, these are not, even though the one guy who testified, I was reading through that one article, who said, hey, these are just computers. They're basically just computers. Well, they're not just computers. They're computers that are driving a counting machine. That's what these things do. They're counting machines. And computers drive a lot of things in factories and other things. So when you use the term BIOS for computers, it's basically, if you're thinking about a car, it would be the starter to your car. Very simplistic. Okay. This would be the starter. This is what starts the engine running, which would be the operating system of your computer. So it starts it up. It starts whenever you turn on your computer or laptop. The first thing that fires up is the BIOS, which is on the hard drive. The BIOS controls the environment. It's going to control, like, which hard drive do I boot from? So this is before you ever get to the operating system. This software or program controls, okay, which, where am I going to boot from? And what's my configuration? What do I have set up in these computers? What am I going to turn on? What am I not going to turn on? Things like that. And he actually commented in the one article, that's where you turn on and off the Wi-Fi. Well, the first thing I had to say when I saw that is, holy crap.
Yeah, what Wi-Fi?
Wi-Fi in each one of these boxes? Who was the dumbass who came up with this one? If you wanted to have internet access at some point so you could remotely upgrade the systems, not during an election cycle, why not go the old-fashioned way with an old Ethernet cable where you can actually see the cable so you know I'm connected to the internet. There's a cable coming out the back of the box.
Right.
But instead, they, through BIOS, they turn on and off the Wi-Fi. So that tells you, you know, it's the configuration of the computer.
Okay.
So if you had access to BIOS, you can do a lot of stuff. Now, most computers, laptops, whatever, don't have a password. So I found that a little bit interesting when they're talking about a BIOS password. Well, understand, these are not just computers. These are counting machines that are driven by computers. So they may not be using the term BIOS the same as we would. Mm-hmm. So it may be when they say the BIOS password, because this is what I found interesting. They're talking about, at one point she said partial passwords. Well, she's full of crap. No one stores partial passwords. That, I don't believe that. It doesn't make common sense. Now, I do get two-part authentication where you have two passwords. It could be that you have a password to the system and then you have a password to the software. So you need, like, the county clerks, you don't give them the password to the system because you don't want them messing with the actual counting machines. So you give them the password to the software, and then your state IT guys who work for the Secretary of State, they would have the password to the computer or to the what they're calling BIOS, which would set up the configuration.
Let me interrupt you a second, because this is crucial, because this is her main defense. She's saying, she's trying to make it sound like that, like you said, it's sort of like a two-factor authentication. And so she said they only released the first half of the passwords publicly, but not the second half. But you're saying, she's playing word games here. Basically, if I'm like a bad guy in a county clerk's office and I want to start tampering with the counting machines and I have my little password, but now I have from the Secretary of State their super duper password, I now have access to everything I need, right?
That's what I believe. Now, obviously, I'm not an expert on these systems.
Okay.
But to me, who I've set up top secret systems that work in Cheyenne Mountain, you don't want the user of the software to have the password to the operating system or the admin account.
Right.
You keep those separate. So it would make total sense that the state of Colorado would have the passwords to the computer systems, but they don't need the password to the software because they're not going to run the software. That's the county clerks. So that's your two passwords that I think they're talking about. Someone needs to ask her specifically, and that's what I would do if I was interviewing her. I would say, let's be clear. When you say BIOS password, are you saying it's the password to the system? Because it makes no sense. BIOS, most computers don't have passwords to their BIOS, but it would make sense to the system to have a password.
So you're saying it's probably not, so because we were talking before and she I thought this is a good analogy you gave, and she's kind of trying to make it sound like this, like in the spy movies where they're going to go in and they're going to arm the nuclear weapons and Chuck has a key and I have a key and we're on opposite side of the room and you have to turn them in and push, turn them time. She's trying to make it sound like that and trying to make it sound like, well, yeah, okay, but only one key was released. The other key is still secret. But you're saying probably not. Probably what there was the one key from the Secretary of State's office that opened the doors. And then the county people maybe had some other key to do something once they got in. But is that right?
Well, the one guy testified to the fact that if you had the BIOS password, you could turn on the Wi-Fi, giving the device access to the internet. Is that a problem? Does anybody who's watching this show, I mean, we have confidence that everything is going to go well next Tuesday night. I sure as hell don't.
No.
I think the same thing that happened 4 years ago is going to happen next Tuesday night. I am what I am. So, and when we talk about this enemy from within, here's the deal. Obviously, you're not going to have some guy off the street who goes onto the website and says, shit, I got a password. I'm good to go. They're not going to sit there and break into a county clerk's office and do mayhem.
Right.
But if you have somebody who's on the inside at one of these county clerks who does have the password to the software, but they're like, hey, I can't do anything. All I have is a password to the software. Really, there's not much more I can do. Oh, now I have the password to the system. So now you can have nefarious things going on by individuals that are knowledgeable. I mean, a lot of bank robberies are inside jobs.
Right.
So, I would be concerned. It has to do with the confidence of the system. So right. After hearing that the Secretary of State of the state of Colorado released almost every password to every voting system in the state of Colorado, are you feeling confident how this is going to go? Are you feeling that these people really got their act together?
That's the first part. Let me get to the second part, too, because I think it's clear she's lying about that. Then secondly,
well, she's not being completely truthful.
All right. Then the second part is she said, we've checked and nobody has tampered. I mean, is that even remotely possible for her to know that?
No.
Yeah, there you go.
To be able to, okay, that sounds pretty direct. she kind of alluded to this. And this is the part that I caught. Another part that makes me uniquely qualified is I'm an expert in interviewing and interrogations, having been a detective. So watching her answer that interview, she said, as soon as we found out, we started an investigation. We got people out in the field. We started checking all this out. And it's like, okay, that was last Thursday. This has been out for 2 months or 3 months or whatever. So don't talk and make it sound like you immediately got involved when you didn't know about it for 3 freaking months.
Right.
There's 600 machines out there in 63 counties. How is she going to get people out there to check every log file and every counting machine, 600 machines, to check to see if there's been any data breach? What she's saying is, well, no one says there's been a problem, so I'm assuming.
Yeah, we have no evidence of it. Yeah.
We have no evidence of a break-in. Well, have you looked? Not really, but we have no evidence of any problems. Well, she said today that they have people out in the field. Well, you got 600 machines. How many people do you have out in the field? It would take days to fix, And then we're counting. Now, if you tell me, because you guys will know this and I don't, does Colorado count votes early or do they have to wait for election day?
No, what they do is they're counted as they come in. And then on election night, they hit tabulate. Right. And then they spew it out.
They're put in the machine, but not added.
Okay.
Right.
Right now, as we speak, those machines are counting. Correct? They're in use right now.
Right.
And Jenna Griswold just said, I've sent our IT people out to the field to go into these areas that are sealed, certified, whatever. And it's supposed to be by the county clerk, because at this point, they've handed the machines over basically to the county clerks and said, we've said these machines are good. Now they're yours. Lock the doors. Do what you do to have a secure situation. And now they're going to let these IT. Maybe the whole thing is a scam from the beginning to get the IT people in these places while they're tabulating so they can. What are they going to do? They're going to access the system.
Yes.
If I was the county clerk, I would tell that IT person to get the hell out of my building. You're not touching anything. We're in the middle of an election season.
Well, that to me, there's so many, and go back to it. In fact, somebody's pointed out in the thing that we know for a fact that these passwords were posted on the site back in June during the primary. So anybody, let me ask you,
who needs
about
the primary?
That? Yeah.
Democrats don't need a primary.
Let's just say, that I'm smart enough to know what I'm doing and I'm a bad actor, right? Is it possible for me if I get in with the password that I have, can I cover my traces, so to speak, so that it might make it look like everything is fine? It might look like the Wi-Fi is turned off when the Wi-Fi is on. Is that possible?
That would be a lot more difficult. Usually, just like in any crime scene, whenever you try to clean up the blood afterwards, you always leave something. It's the same thing digitally. Like you have these log files. So the person who did this would have to be intimately knowledgeable in how these systems work. And then they'd have to basically edit log files, which typically is not done. It would take more time to clean up your action than it probably would be for your nefarious action to have taken place. But I'm just I'm concerned about the integrity of these boxes. And then to say, trust me. You know, whenever I have a politician tell me, trust me, you know, this is not a data. A data breach is only when they're successful. You're still doing your investigation. You don't know if they've been successful or not. Like whenever we have a homicide, it could have been accidental. It could have been suicide sometimes. Usually you find a weapon. But we always handle those cases as homicides first, worst case scenarios.
Right.
And then if we find out 2 or 3 days later, hey, you guys, you know, this was a drug overdose. Oh, really? Well, okay, we did all that work for nothing. What you have is Griswold just basically saying, hey, don't sweat it. Until we hear something that makes it sound bad, we're just going to assume all is well.
Well, but she had an addendum that hasn't been put up yet on the on her thing. Well, Kyle Clark was saying, you know, she was saying to Kyle Clark, look, Kyle, we have a uniparty system here. The Democratic Party controls everything. We don't have elections. What difference does
he
it make?
That?
There's nothing.
No.
Yeah, she said, your vote, nobody's vote matters. That's a joke. So who cares if they got in the jeans? Were they going to put in a little more Democrat votes than before? The whole thing's a cruel joke. Huh? So why are you giving me grief? And they wouldn't put that in. But
this is different, Charlene. Who first broke this story? Here's the thing, guys. This story was broken by the Colorado Republican Party. Somebody came to the Colorado Republican Party, according to the press release, with an affidavit. Somebody had been able to, who I guess just knew what they were doing, and I don't know how this came about, but somebody was able to get onto the website and started clicking on things and said, holy crap, as you would say, here's all the BIOS passwords, right? And then they followed it for a while and they finally turned it over to the Colorado Republican Party. I'm sure who, now my question is, could this be going on in other states?
But now that could be a problem.
But bottom line,
like Georgia, Pennsylvania.
Yeah, like Georgia, yeah.
So when Jenna Griswold says, hey, no worries, they're only got half the passwords, that's not true. When Jenna Griswold says, no worries, that there nothing was tampered with, nothing was compromised, that's not true. She can't possibly know that, right? So,
well, here's kind of the key. Do you think that Ms. Griswold actually knows how these machines work?
No.
She doesn't have a clue how these machines work. She may at some point, someone might have said, hey, let's bring her in and show her, you know, we'll give her a little tour of these boxes. You've got some IT guys that understand how these boxes work. They're probably going, oh, geez, this is not good. And she's like, whoa, don't say that. You know, that's no good. Well, we don't want to tell you anything, you know. I mean, it's obvious to me from her interview, she had no intentions of telling anybody about this breach. It was just not, whether it's a potential breach or whatever your terminology is, you know, hey, it was just an ear. No big deal.
Not even the county clerks. She wasn't even going to tell them.
Not
going
to tell the county
clerks. They found out from the GOP, the Colorado GOP.
So she was definitely in cover-up mode when everything failed. So, again, it's all about confidence. Do you have confidence that if something were to happen that were seriously going to be a complete no-brainer data breach, do you feel confident that Ms. Griswold would come forward and say, I got to tell you something?
Well, I'll tell you what she would do, and she's proved this in the past. She would immediately contact Planned Parenthood.
Yeah.
And Planned Parenthood would tell her what to say.
And here's the thing on this.
Would they abort the data breach?
And let's talk about, this is a kind of thing, too. In order, from what we were talking earlier, in order to make sure that none of the machines were compromised, essentially, you would have to go to the machine, sort of wipe it, right? And then reinstall.
Well,
totally
I wouldn't wipe it. I mean, to make it good, I would wipe every machine and put a new fresh download. Because I guarantee you, if they're doing this right, the same way that we did it when we deployed systems in Cheyenne Mountain, is you have a disk, you had multiple disks, And then you deploy everybody, and then they just download all the new software everywhere. And it's actually easier not to upgrade the system as it is to wipe the system clean and just put the new version out. Because these are counting machines. It shouldn't matter what happened last year. It should be all fresh this year. I don't know exactly how they do it. But in this case, if you really want to know if there was an issue, you got to look at the log files. You've got to do a full-blown investigation. It would take months.
I was going to say, you can't do this before Tuesday, right? There's no chance.
So at this point, all you can really hope for is physical security. You've already blown it with the other security. That ship has sailed. So all you can do is add confidence, you know, and she tried to do this. Our building, these county clerk buildings are secure. There's 24/7 video, you know, all this other stuff. And it's like, again, it all boils down. Do you have confidence in what she's saying?
Right.
If you do, then sleep well next Tuesday night, because Kamala Harris will be your next president.
Yeah.
If you don't have confidence, you're going to not sleep at night, and you're going to go, oh, crap, we're going to go through 2020 again.
Yes.
You know, here it comes again. And Trump's got it right when he says too big to rig.
Yeah.
You know, we've got to win so well. And the hardest part is, you know, can they rig Arizona, Georgia, Pennsylvania, Michigan, and Wisconsin, all of them? Well, that's a little trickier. And you know, again, it's all about confidence.
Right.
You well, knowing that Griswold doesn't have a flipping clue what she's doing about running elections.
Well, and I mean, again, it's like, I don't know, posting publicly the passwords to every voting machine there, and then not even realizing.
And they haven't identified who did it exactly.
Oh, that's huge. Chuck, I'm so glad you said that, because she made a big deal. She said a trusted civil servant did it. They know who did it, and they won't give you a name. She said a trusted civil servant. If you ever believe, that's the old phrase, I'm here from the government, I'm here to help. You know, a trusted civil servant who is non-political, has no agenda, you know, they're trusted, been here longer. She even said, been here longer than I have. It's like, this is what Trump was talking about the enemy from within. Is you have these people that have worked in government. Why do you think Kamala Harris can have a rally if she said 100,000 people in Washington, D.C.? Because everybody in Washington, D.C. does not want Donald Trump to be president, because they've got their sweet gigs. You know, I work for the Justice Department. I work for the Department of Interior. I work for
from home.
I've got my job. I've worked there for 30 years. For God's sakes, don't screw things up. You know, that's why all of D.C. is always for the Democrats, because they're not going to fire anybody.
No. Well, and with this, like you said, it goes to confidence. So number one, we've got them incompetent enough that they're putting the passwords out publicly. Number two, and she's lying about it. Number two, she's lying about the fact that they know there haven't been any issues. Number three, we can't know. It's impossible right now to know, nor will it be possible by Tuesday to know whether anything has been compromised or tampered with. You just can't. I mean, and it's not even like some vague. But
Do you have confidence if it was tampered with, they tell you?
No, but
they're not going to tell
you.
She's not going to come out on Tuesday morning and go, oh, gosh, guys, sorry, we found out that in Denver.
Our bad.
Can we restart? We didn't do it right. Let's restart the whole process.
I guarantee you. Been counted. Oh, go ahead.
She doesn't want anybody to question anything. She's trying. And all she's fooling are the Democrats that are just saying, oh, yeah, I believe her. I believe her. Yeah. No worries, man. It's all good.
Asking you about this, Mark, earlier, and Chuck, too, and maybe I've just become too paranoid anymore, but I'm wondering if this is a sort of a deep fake. In other words, so I'm Jenna Griswold. I know that Kamala Harris is probably going to take Colorado. But I don't know that Donald Trump might not win. So let's just say Donald Trump wins nationally. And then Jenna Griswold turns around and goes, you know what? I've been thinking a lot about this. I think Dave Williams and the Colorado Republican Party is right. I don't have confidence in our elections machines. Therefore, I'm not going to certify Colorado's election. And then any other state that this happened. I mean, this gives her, if she wants, and then we've got judges. So, you know, when we take it to court, the judges, of course, who wanted Donald Trump off the ballot in the first place. I mean, I just wonder if this is more nefarious than it even, maybe I'm just becoming paranoid anywhere, but I mean, I could easily see her doing that, saying, I'm not going to certify it because, you know, Dave Williams is right. These machines aren't any good.
Well, Colorado has definitely shown in the past that they're willing to make what they consider to be legal decisions, knowing that they're completely wrong. I mean, the whole thing with Donald Trump, they knew, you know, why would a Colorado State Supreme Court, you know, back this up knowing that the Supreme Court was going to go, no. So they're willing, and we've seen this with the lawfare and everything against Donald Trump, where local prosecutors, and we're finding out so much now, even before hopefully Trump gets reelected, to where we can really find out. That's the only way we're ever going to find out about the corruption between all these federal prosecutors and state prosecutors going after Trump to try to keep him off the ballot. They've got to be thinking to themselves, you know what? That didn't work. You know, we had all these things set up, and Trump only gained in popularity. So I don't put it past people, especially desperate people, to want to save. You know, they feel like if I can save the Republic, it's almost like some of the things that are said nationally of, if you keep saying, and this is something that's really bothered me, if you keep calling Donald Trump Hitler or a fascist or whatever, some nut who's not running on every cylinder is going to realize, you know, if I could have taken out
Hitler
early, I would be a hero. And so that's why you get these people who are mentally ill, that are willing to do things, you know. So why is Kamala saying all this stuff now, 2 weeks before the election? I think they're seriously hoping that some nutcase gets another shot on Trump.
Right.
You know? And it's the same kind of thing with her. She's trying.
No. They said they're going to unify.
Yeah, they're going
to. Joe said he's bringing all the country together and unifying.
And I want to address this too. There are a ton of comments about Tina Peters, because, and all of this is absolutely true. All of the stuff, and Kyle Clark kind of did address this, all of the stuff that Tina Peters was accused of, and all of that, I mean, it's technically illegal. George Brockman was tweeting this. There is a law now following Tina Peters that if you publicly release the, you know, information like this, it's a class 5 misdemeanor punishable with whatever, right?
It's got to be a class 5 felony, because there's no class 5 misdemeanor.
Class 5 felony, okay. And Jenna Griswold is like, well, it's different because I'm a Democrat. But let me ask you this. To me, it kind of comes down to, and Candace is pointing this out, it's going to come down to individual county clerks.
You can trust them.
If you're a county clerk, I mean, you're just kind of screwed here, aren't you?
Because they transferred everything from the county clerk's abilities to the Secretary of State. The county clerks have very little say these days.
It's the law for the county clerks to not certify the election, right? I mean,
but if you were a county clerk right now, and you know what happened to Tina Peters and all this stuff, would you raise your head over the trench you're in?
No.
Because they're going to shoot you right here between the eyes.
Yes.
Polis should have done as soon as this judge, who was obviously a radical, very biased judge, had, you know, 9 years or whatever. Polis should have said, you know what? I'm going to pardon her immediately, because the damage has already been done. You know, she's been convicted. I mean, is there anything served by putting her in prison other than retribution of saying, see, you mess with us,
right?
You are going to prison. But so why isn't Polis just pardoning it? Polis has pardoned people a lot flipping worse than what she's done. And I don't know anything about the case, so I can't comment on that. But this is strictly to keep the county clerks in line that they will not mess with the state.
I think so, too. Exactly. Because like you said, if you're a county clerk, there's no way you can't call up Jenna Griswold and say, like, I'm kind of concerned about this publicly posting things. And I've got weird stuff on my logs and my surveillance cameras and things like that. I think somebody should come look at it. All of a sudden, you're going to be charged with trying to influence a public figure and sent to prison for 5 years, right?
Well, God forbid you say, I'm going to have my own IT people look at it. You know, if you say that, I mean, they'll come after you. So, and that's really when they talk about these different separation of power. So you have the state provide these machines, but who is the elected official responsible for collecting and counting the ballots in each county? It's the county clerks. Well, they've just threw all that out the door, and now the county clerks is almost like the same thing. I hate to even say this because I used to be on a school board. The state has been trying to push local school boards forever, And they pushed on us when I was on the school board. I was the president, I think, at the time. They tried to push on us that we will teach their form of sex ed.
Right.
And that they're going to tell us what our curriculum is. And we wrote a thing saying, wait a minute, it's in the state constitution that local school boards come up with curriculum. So we wrote a resolution, and I actually said on TV, you can go find this, where I said, I want the state to sue us, you know, come after us, because this right. needs to be fought in court. And all of a sudden, this new sex ed curriculum disappeared. It's like, well, if you don't want to use it, that's fine. You know, and it's because you need people on local. But now, you know, with the way it's run now, they would have come down and arrested me for, are you trying to influence the state government?
Yeah. Right.
Yeah. We're going to arrest the whole school board.
Oh, hey, listen, we have to go, Mark. Thank you.
Thank you, Mark. That was great.
We're gonna have Colonel Sean Smith on, who can talk a little bit.
We're gonna make you a colonel.
Make you a colonel. Thank you for your explanation and helping me sort it out for it too, Mark. Thank you very much,
Colonel Mark. Thank you.
All right. Have fun.
All right. Thank you. Sorry, guys, we didn't get time to read all the comments, but there's like. I mean, there's a ton to unpack, but bottom line, Jenna Griswold's lying through her teeth and she can't assure us of anything. Wow. And thank God, again.
Never would have suspected.
Can you imagine if Christy Burton Brown had been chair of the Republican Party? Matt Crane. Yeah. Matt Crane also assuring us everything is okay. Yeah. Thank goodness that for the, and I'm, you know, that they put this out. And hopefully there's no hope.
Now you're starting to get it. Now you're getting. Getting on Cocoa Puffs.
Hey, like I said, Friday we'll have Colonel Mills on. I think we've got Ash Epp. Ash Epp has some interesting theories about the Kyle Clark thing, the interview. She says she does not trust Kyle Clark, and she's got some interesting theories.
No, really, not Kyle Clark.
Yeah.
He's our hero now.
That'll do it for us for today.
Thank you, everybody.
We'll see you on Party Friday.